In Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1, we have the account when one of the Lord's disciples asked him a question. In verse 11 and verse 1 it says, "Now when it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." When Jesus uttered those words, when those words were asked to teach us to pray, he uttered the most deepest and most universal desire of the human heart. What is prayer? Prayer is something that is a blessing. It is something that God gave to his children. It is not a blessing that is enjoyed by everyone. It is one that is a privilege and an honor for those who call themselves or are in the family of God. It is our communication with our Creator. It is our communication to let him know of the things that we need in life, to give him thanks, honor, and glory. And it is the only personal communication that transcends time, space, and matter. It is a personal thing between God and us. And so we want to talk tonight about what is prayer. Prayer is the other side of the equation with providence. We talked about providence this morning, and tonight we want to talk about the second part of that equation, and that's our part, and that is the subject of prayer. Teach us to pray. You know, we understand that in Luke 11 and verse 1, the deepest heart and most universal need of man is to communicate. We need to communicate. We need to talk. We need to speak to others. And it's finite man's way to have real and personal communication with God. Even unbelievers, when they don't know what else to do, when they've tried everything that they know how to do, they will turn to God and they will offer prayer. I've seen it in funeral homes. I've seen it in hospitals. I've seen it in hospice centers. I've seen it in accidents. I've seen it all my life. People who profess that they don't believe in God, don't know God, have no relationship with God, have no religious conviction in their heart at all, but yet in time of need, they will pray to God. Man may attempt to avoid the reality that God does not exist, but there are things that will happen to him in life that will cause him to reconsider his position. But when death threatens, when danger threatens, when there's an obstacle that they cannot remove, then they will turn to God and they frantically seek his device. But I want you to understand something tonight before we get into this lesson. Prayer is not a safety valve. Prayer is not something that you just use when you need it. Prayer is not something that we are given when we... I heard a Christian tell me one time, "Well, I've tried everything, I guess I'll pray now." Brethren, that's wrong attitude. Prayer should be the first thing we do, not the last thing. And so we want to talk about the part of prayer and how prayer can help us. And so Christians need to pray. As God's children, no matter how diligently we strive to please him in all phases of our lives, if we do not pray, or if we do not pray properly, we will fail miserably. Your faith is a direct link to your prayer life. If your faith is not strong, it's because your prayer life is not strong. If your prayer life's not strong, your faith is weak. Why don't people pray? They don't pray because they don't believe. They don't pray because they don't have enough trust and faith in God. This is one of the greatest blessings that God gives us as his children, but I'm afraid it's the most least blessing that is used of all the blessings that God bestows upon us as his children. And so we need to remember, we ought to appreciate this great blessing we have and in prayer and learn how to pray more effectively. This lesson is how to pray more effectively, and why prayer is such an important part of our life with God. Let us begin. Martin Luther once made this statement: "As a shoemaker makes a shoe, and a tailor makes a coat, so ought the Christian to pray. Prayer is the daily business of a Christian. The subject of prayer is not something new in the Bible. It is a reoccurring theme in both Old and New Testament. Although the subject is more explicitly taught in the New Testament, do you realize there are 85 prayers in the Old Testament? 85 different times and settings when prayers are recorded in the Old Testament. The Old Testament deals mostly with confession in prayer, confession of sin, confession of transgression, confession of wrongdoing, and seeking God's blessing and His mercy. We can read these in the book of Leviticus and also very much in the book of Numbers. The same truth is taught in the New Testament. In James chapter 5, verse 16, a passage that we know very readily, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But we're not only told to pray to God, we're not only told to pray for strength, we're not just told to pray with thanksgiving and gratitude, we are told to pray for our enemies. That's what Jesus himself taught in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44. And so prayer is something that we need to acknowledge, and we need to acknowledge that we need it. I want you to think about something for a minute. What if we didn't have prayer? What if you couldn't pray? How different would your life be? Or would it be different at all? If you couldn't pray, if God couldn't hear you, if you couldn't petition God, if you couldn't communicate with Him, how different would our lives be? Well, let's talk about for a moment that we need to understand some things if we're going to pray effectively. If we're going to pray effectively, we have to understand this thing called prayer. And so I want to talk about some general acknowledgments that we need to come to grips with. Number one, we need to know that there is a God. God exists. He's real. He's not imaginary. He's not somebody that is just something that's in our memory or something that's in our imagination. God is a real person. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, what does the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, we quote that part of the verse, but we need to read the rest of it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and we often quote the beginning of that verse, but do we understand what the remainder of the verse says? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is possible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You cannot pray without faith. Faith is absolutely essential for your prayers to get higher than the ceiling. For them to go before the throne of God, to go before Him and to come up as a sweet smelling aroma in a figurative sense, they must be backed by faith. They must be prayed in faith. Well, many people don't pray because the problem is not they don't know how to pray, they don't know how their faith works. And so the first thing that you have to have is faith. And man needs God. Brethren, life itself will teach us this. Man needs God. It's not that God needs us. Turn to Acts 17 for a moment. Does God really need us? Are there things that we do in our lives that make God's life better? Look at Acts 17. And in Acts 17, this is a sermon that was pointed to idolaters in Athens. And look at verse number 25. It says, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation for men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope they might find him, they might grope after him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. We need to understand that we are the one that's in the needing position. We need God. And we sing a song sometimes, I think, we need thee every hour. Well, we could change that to every minute, and that would be just as appropriate as every hour. Man needs God. In John chapter 15 and verse number 5, Jesus touched on this, talking about a private conversation with his disciples just before his arrest. And he said in verse 5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, you can bear much fruit. But notice the last part of that verse. For without me, you can do nothing. We need God. Now, if I need God, how do I reach God? How do I get in contact with God? How do I communicate with God? The only avenue to do that is through prayer, this communication link that he has given man. And God hears our prayer. Turn to James chapter 4 and look at verse number 8. James chapter 4 and verse number 8. And keep your finger on James. We'll be going there quite a bit tonight. James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your heart, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to understand prayer is not an empty, futile exercise. God would draw nigh to men who are able and willing to hear the prayers that are offered to him. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It is reassuring to know that the God who runs this universe, the one who takes care and sustains the whole world, the one who has the hands of the nations in his hand, that with all the things that God does and all the things that he sees to needs of, that whenever and wherever a child of God offers a prayer to the Father, he hears that prayer. He is never busy. He will never be too busy. He will never be on a vacation. He will never be asleep. And it does not matter where you're at, what the circumstances are, and whatever God is doing, God hears the prayers of the righteous. Now ask me how he does that. I can't answer that. I just know that God says he does. And if God says he does, as we talked about this morning, Hebrews 6:18, he cannot lie to us. And so if we pray, God hears. That should be very comforting, that if we pray, that God hears. And something else that should be a great comfort to us is that God answers our prayers. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to him who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things? Look at the last part of that verse. To those who ask him. You know, the Bible says God knows what we need before we ask. Well, then why do we got to tell him? Why do we have to go to him in prayer if he already knows what I need? Because, brethren, it's a demonstration of our love and our faith in God that we show our dependence on God and that we trust him to ask him. Yes, God knows what we need, but he cannot give us what we need if we do not ask. If we do not ask, we will not receive. If you don't knock, it won't be open. And you can't receive it if you don't go after it. And so there is a part that we have to play. And it's comforting to know in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says He cares for you. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Brethren, there is no one, and I want to underline this, there is no one who loves you more than God. There is no one that cares for you more than God. And there's no one that can help you more than God. God is in the best position because He has all wisdom, He has all knowledge, and He has all power, and His love for us is never ending. That should be very comforting to us. Why would we not pray? Why would we not talk to the one who loves us that deeply, cares for us that deeply, and is able to help us to such depths? Why in the world would we not pray to Him to understand how much He loves us and how much He cares for us? And understand that God understands me. You know how many times I've had Christians tell me, God just doesn't understand what's going on in my life. Baloney. What about your life would God not understand? Okay, let's think about a couple of things. Would God understand rejection? Yeah, I think He'd understand that. I think your son was rejected when he was here. Would God understand injustice? Would God understand unfair treatment? Would God understand the weight and emotion that can happen to us when life turns us a bad turn and when things don't go as we plan? Does God understand how that can affect our lives? You think God doesn't understand that? Who created man? Who knows man better than the one that created him? And in this life, when Jesus was here on earth, what did He experience? He experienced all the things that we experience. He experienced thirst, hunger. He got lonely. He got tired. He got discouraged. He got angry with righteous indignation. He got weary. And He was treated unjustly and He was treated unfairly. What about your life doesn't God understand? I want you to know that nobody understands you like God. Nobody. Nobody understands the ins and outs of your life, understands the things that you need in your life, and understands the things that can destroy you in this life like the God of heaven does. Nobody. And we should understand that, and that should encourage us to pray. But you know what? How do you address God? God made it possible for His children to talk with Him. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse number 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand something. God is not the old man in the sky. He's not your pappy. He's not your daddy. He is your heavenly Father. And you need to respect Him by the way that you address Him. He is our Father in heaven. To this day, since today's Father's Day is kind of appropriate, and I'm 57 years old, I would never in my life address my father as the old man. Because he's my father. I respect him for who he is. How in the world could you ever address? I was listening to the radio one day, and this fellow was preaching, if you want to call it that. He was preaching, and at the end, he wanted to offer a prayer. And he began his prayer with, "Dear Pappy." Folks, that's irreverent. That's irreverent. That's blasphemous. You are talking to the God of heaven. You are talking to the one who created the heavens and the earth. You are talking to the one that gives you and sustains your life while you're here on earth. And you need to treat him with dignity, respect, and honor. And you do that by how you address him. And you pray to the Father, and you pray through the Son. Because he is the mediator between God and us. There's a middle person, and that middle person is Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. God put him in that position. He is the one that we pray through. God asked his children to call upon him. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18, and brethren, I'm just going to talk about some of the verses. There's so many verses about this subject, we'd be here a long time. But I want to just look at some of them. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to understand that God wants us to pray to Him. Prayer is our way of expressing to God what we feel in our hearts. In Romans chapter 9, in verse number 3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed for Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. This was Paul's intense desire for his brethren, that he could take their place, that they might render obedience to the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Now what does that mean? Pray without ceasing. Does that mean you got to be on your knees 24 hours a day? No. You know what that pray without ceasing means? It means it's habitual. It means it's part of your life. It means it's something you do, not just when you need something, not when you get down to eat a meal, not when you're out in a restaurant and you got a bunch of people together and you pray. That's all well and good. But brethren, that's not what it means to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing is to mean that it is part of your everyday life. Every day we should pray. Every day we should address our Father in heaven. And every day we need to give Him glory, honor, and thanks. You know, we need to understand that prayer is not just wishful thinking. It's not just asking some things from God. Prayer is something that we express to God, our innermost thoughts, our innermost desires, the things that are weighing deeply upon our hearts. And that's why we pray to God. When we pray, we talk to God. Let your request be known unto God. Do you understand when you bow your head and when you address the Father of heaven, that you are communicating with God? You are talking with God like I'm talking to you. Do you understand what a privilege that is? What an honor that is? And what power there is in talking to the Creator of this world? Do you understand what you hold in your hand when you have the right and the privilege and the honor to pray because you're a child of God? You know, we begin our prayer, our Father. Who can say that? Can anybody say that? The only people that can say that are people who are in the family of God. You know, today's Father's Day. My father, he's in Florida. You know, so if I want to talk to my father, I call Florida to talk to my father. Because that's where my father is. If I want to talk to my heavenly father, he is in heaven. And when I address him, I am talking to God in heaven. I've got a direct link from here to heaven. And that link is prayer. And when we pray, we are talking to God. And you know what? Ecclesiastics. I want you to turn your Bible to Ecclesiastics for a moment. Would you look at chapter number 5? I forgot to put this verse in my PowerPoint. That's what you do when you put lessons together. You always remember things you should have put in and then you didn't. Look at verse 2 of chapter 5. It says, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hand?" You ever pray to God and tell God, "I'm going to do better. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to be more faithful in my attendance. I'm going to try to be more Christ-like. I'm going to try to be more like the person you want me to be." And then you don't do that. You know what? You just lied to God. You just lied to your Creator. Now, brethren, I don't like to lie, but I think the last person I'd want to lie to is God. Now, lying's a sin no matter when you do it, but to lie to God? To tell God I'm going to do something and I have no intention of doing it? To pray and ask God for something that I have no intention of being faithful and doing His will, and yet I want God to bless me? Who are we kidding? Have we really gone so far that we don't understand that God will hear no such prayer like that? You know, the Bible says in James 5:16, "Confess your fault, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Let me ask you, son, if you really needed something in your life, would you want an atheist to pray for you? I don't think you want an atheist praying for you. Or if you really needed God's help and you really needed His encouragement and you were really having a difficult time, would you want somebody who was not very faithful to God, somebody that was lukewarm, somebody that just went through the motions? Would you want them to pray for God to you pray to God on your behalf? No. You want somebody that's faithful. You want somebody that's diligent. You want somebody that loves God. You want somebody that's trying to strive to live for God. That's who you want to pray for here. But brethren, we should want to be that person. Jesus' teaching on prayer. And you know what? Matthew 6:8-13 is not the Lord's Prayer. Never was it the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:8-13 is the Lord's teaching on prayer. That prayer is not applicable today. It is not correct to say that prayer today. How many times you go to events or you go to a funeral service and they're reciting that prayer? That prayer is inaccurate today. What do you mean it's inaccurate? Look at it. Look at Matthew chapter 6. What's one of the things that is in that prayer? Verse 10. "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Why would I pray for the kingdom to come? It's already here. When Jesus gave this teaching on prayer, the kingdom hadn't come yet. The kingdom didn't come until after He went back to the Father. And so when He was teaching His disciples to pray, He was telling them to pray for the kingdom because the kingdom has not come yet. But brethren, the kingdom has come now. You know who prays that prayer? A premillennial person prays that prayer. Because he doesn't believe the kingdom has come yet. So he can still pray that prayer. Because he believes the kingdom is yet to come. But the kingdom is already here. This is Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's not something He gave us for all time that we can recite and there's some mystical power if you recite the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's teaching on prayer. You see, God approves of prayers of those who are endeavoring to live righteously. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. but his ears are closed and his eyes are closed to those who do evil. If you're not living right, your prayers are not going before the throne of God, unless it's a prayer of repentance and seeking forgiveness from God. You can't live wrong and pray right. That's impossible. You have to be living the life that God asked you to do in order for your prayers. You know what Isaiah 59 says? Sin and iniquity separate you from God. Is that just true when you're an alien sinner? Or is that true when you commit a sin? That's true in any sin you commit, whether you're an alien or alien sinner, or whether you're a child of God. You have to repent of that sin. You have to correct that sin. And that's the privilege and the duty of the righteous. Prayer is asking, seeking, and knocking. We read these verses a moment ago. Asking petitions of God. Seeking answers to life problems. Knocking to achieve an entrance into a more abundant life. Knowing God gives only good gifts. Let me ask you a question tonight. When's the last time you prayed and didn't ask for a thing? Didn't ask Him for anything. Just thanked Him. Thank Him for your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your job, your health, your life, your brethren, the church. When's the last time you prayed nothing but to thank God? Can you remember when you prayed and you didn't ask for something? When's the last time you prayed for another person? Not yourself. Let me go one step further. When's the last time you prayed for somebody that wasn't in your immediate family? Not your children, not your grandchildren, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousins, but for somebody that wasn't in your immediate family. When's the last time you prayed and asked God for something on their behalf? Brethren, if we want to have a good prayer life, we have to be asking, we have to be seeking, and we have to be knocking. But you know what? None of this will work. None of it will work unless we have faith. Turn to James chapter 1. I told you we'd get back to there. Look at James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, that he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. What does it mean to pray in faith? What does it mean when God says that we must pray in faith? That means we must pray with the understanding and the confidence that God will answer our prayer. But what does that mean that I pray in faith? Is the only way that you know that God answered your prayer is when you get what you asked for? You know, if you pray in faith, then that means if God says no, you have to accept no. If God says not yet, not now, you don't need it, you have to accept that. And if God tells you that that is something that will not make your life better or that will not help you at this time, you have to pray in faith that you accept what God says. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says maybe. Sometimes God says not yet. And whatever way it goes, we have to have the faith that we trust Him and it does not shake our confidence. Because you know what? When you pray to God, He knows what's best in your life. He knows what will help you, really help you, will really give you the things that you need in life. And that's what you're asking for. You're asking for something in your life that you think you need, and the only one that truly knows what's best for you is the one that you're petitioning. Do you have faith to trust Him no matter what the answer is? That faith must be a working faith. Faith without works is dead. If you don't have the deep abiding faith that God can answer your prayer, save your breath, because it will not work. It will not work. You have to have prayer mixed with obedience. Prayer is not a substitute for good works. In James chapter 2, verse 18, James wrote, "Someone will say, 'You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" You know what that means? That means that I must trust God. And my trust in God is more than lip service. My trust in God is that I'm going to live the kind of life that He's told me to live, because that's the best life that I can live. And I'm going to fully trust Him that whatever He tells me to do, I'm going to do that, because that's in my best interest to do. Honestly, brethren, do you think God would ever give you bad advice? Do you think He would ever lead you down a bad road? Would He ever give you bad counsel? He never has. He never will. We need to fully trust Him. Prayer is an act of faith. We must be doing God's will. Prayer is more than thinking. Prayer is communication, God listens, and the Christian talks. Must private prayer be verbalized? Do I have to speak out loud for God to hear it? Do I have to pray in an audible voice for God to hear? No, because God knows our heart. Every one of our thoughts are open and naked before Him. We must give an account. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you remember Hannah? Her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out. And what did Eli think? He thought she was drunk. And no, she said, "I was pouring my heart out to God. He was asking a petition of a son, and God granted her request." No, you don't have to verbalize it. And you know, we got people today that think that you have to pray in Holy Spirit to be answered. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God needs a special language for us to pray in to understand? Who created man's tongue? Who created languages? Must you only play in English? Or Russian? Or Filipino? You know that God understands any dialect of any tongue, of any language that's on the face of the earth. He does not need a special language. You know, the people today who claim to believe in tongues say they're speaking a language that only God knows. What language is known that God doesn't know? What language out there is it that God wouldn't know? God doesn't need a special language. He doesn't need some kind of special communication. He understands everything that man says. And so we need to understand that. Do you ever worry that, you know, I'm not saying this right. I don't think I'm putting this in a way that God... Take a step back. God knows what you need. God knows what you're trying to say. God knows what you're asking for. He just wants you to demonstrate faith, and He wants you to ask Him. God will take care of the rest. Don't worry so much about the fundamentals of prayer. Don't worry about how it sounds. Don't worry about if you leave something out. Don't worry about that you're not saying everything you want. Don't worry about that. Just pray. Just take deep, abiding faith and pray, and God will take care of the rest. Do you trust Him that much? Kind of prayer, supplications. In supplications, these are prayers asking God to aid in some particular or specific need. You know, in 1 John 5 and verse 14 and 15, this is a prayer for the pleas of one's needs in their life. Prayer is a general term, and that term simply is more general, covering every form of address that we could when we address God and also includes an ideal of worship. Intercession. Intercession is falling in with, meeting with, in which a petition or a plea is presented on behalf of another. In Acts chapter 4, you know what's interesting about this prayer? Peter was arrested, and he was put in prison, and Herod was going to kill him after the Passover. And the church made vehement and very deep prayers asking for Peter's release. You know what happened in Acts chapter 4? When they were praying, there was a knock on the door. And who was standing at the door? Peter. You know what they did? They slammed the door in his face. The girl ran in and said, "Peter's out there." Remember what they said? "You're crazy. That's his ghost." What were they praying for? They were praying that God would see that Peter was released and not harmed. Didn't they believe that God could answer that prayer? The very thing they were praying for was standing right outside the door, and yet they acted surprised when he was there. Did that ever happen to you? When you pray for something, and then it happens, are you surprised? Why should you be surprised? Now, if you have faith, you shouldn't be surprised. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And again, we just showing God, thanking God. You know, we really are a blessed people. Think about it. We live in a country where we can come into capacities like this. No one's going to come in and throw us in jail. Nobody's going to harm us or malign us because we believe in God and we worship God. And we live in a country where we can live wherever we want to live. We can work in any kind of job that we want to work in. And we can raise our children in a way that we think is best. And we can do all these things that we think are freedoms that we have because we're an American. I got news for you, folks. You don't got freedom because you're an American. You got freedom because you're a child of God. And every freedom that you enjoy is a expression of the love and the care and the watch care that God has for you as His child. And we need to have these prayers of thanksgiving. Well, maybe that's telling me I should quit. Let me wrap this up. Brethren, prayer is an act of demonstrating to God that I love Him, that I trust Him, and that I need Him. And when I pray, and when I address the Father in heaven, you have His full attention. There's not a prayer that you will ever utter, no matter if it's supplication, intercession, thanksgiving, something traumatic happening in your life, something that you deeply need, something you want to do that's better, seeking forgiveness. There's never a time when you will pray that you're ever interfering and you're causing God to weary from hearing from you. You know what I think worries God? Is that He's given this great blessing to His children and they do not use it. I think that worries God. And isn't it awful that the one that can help us in any situation in life that could ever happen to us, and in any situation that we might face, that the one that has the answer and can provide encouragement, can provide comfort, and can help us see the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, isn't it sad that so many times He's the last one that we think about to talk to? Brethren, that shows that your faith is weak. Here's a question you need to ask yourself. How much do you pray? Do you pray every day? How often do you just bow your head, get on your knees, and just talk to God one-on-one. You know, there's a song that we sing in the book. It says about praying till dawn. You ever done that? I'm going to tell you what, there's things that will happen in your life. You'll pray all night long. And you won't think a thing about it because of what you're praying for. Now, brethren, I'm not going to tell you how often you have to pray. I'm not going to tell you when you should pray, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're struggling in living the Christian life, if you're struggling and you're having difficulty and you go, and you want to know something, brethren, we all know people who once were here and not here now. And we have people that have fallen back in the world, people you know and people you love. And I'll guarantee you in every case, without exception, they had no prayer life. They had none. And that's why they're back in the world. And brethren, that's what can happen to us. We need to pray, not to put some mark on a checklist, not because it's a good ideal. We need to pray because we need to pray. We need to understand that we need God in every situation that we face. And you know how comforting it is to know that whatever I need, whatever I'm up against, and whatever is happening in my life, that when I talk to my Father in heaven, I'm not inconveniencing Him. And He doesn't get weary of listening to me. And He'll never turn a deaf ear to me. And it will always make things better because I know that He hears. And I know that He cares. And I know that He will help me. I've had some, in my personal life, I've had some pretty dark hours that I faced that I didn't know which way to go. That I thought I was crumbling. That I thought my life was going in a direction, in a spiral, and I thought it was going out of control and I didn't know what to do. But I found out. And you know what I found out? I found out that, Keith, you need to pray more than you do. And you know what? I do now. I pray more. And you know what? It's not as much of a struggle as it used to be. It's still a struggle. I still struggle about things. I still need God's help. But I don't need it like I used to. Because you know what I've learned to do? When I get up against something and I don't understand it, and something is causing me to be discouraged, and something is causing me to not know what to do, what to turn, the very first thing that I'll do is I'll not worry, I'll not fret, I'll pray. And I'll pray. And you know, in time, it works itself out. You know what that's called? That's called trusting and depending upon God. And if you're here this evening, and you're my brother and sister in Christ, and you struggle in living the life of a Christian, your problem is equal to the lack of your prayer life. The more that you pray, the stronger you will be, and the more able you'll be able to deal with difficulty when it comes in your life. My friend, if you're not a child of God, you don't have this avenue. You can't address God as your Father because you're outside of His family. That's not because God doesn't love you, and that's not because God doesn't care. That's because you have not rendered obedience to the gospel. But you can fix that tonight. You can render obedience to the gospel, and you can be a child of God. And when you leave here tonight, you can be in the family of God. And the next time you bow your head and you pray, you can say, "My Father, who art in heaven." And you know that He hears you. And He will hear you for the rest of your days upon this earth. And if you are a child of God and you've not lived your life the way you should, you should petition God to forgive you and strengthen you and to help you to do better. And if we can help you in any way tonight, we bid you to come forward as together we stand, as we sing.